Lori McCandish King reporting from Havana, Cuba. I'm speaking with Yamil Alvarez Torres, the owner of Paladar Los Mercaderes. Welcome, Yamil. Could you tell our listeners, what is a paladar?
Okay, a paladar in Cuba means a private restaurant, and normally are the houses of the owners that they turn them in family restaurants, you know, because normally the family is running the business.
So this is a private enterprise that's taking place in Cuba now.
Exactly, it's a private enterprise.
And how long have paladars been in Cuba?
Well, since I remember, 27 years ago, private restaurants were allowed. Then that stopped, and then like 7 years ago, permissions were available again. So now I would say there is a boom of private restaurants in Cuba.
How long have you had your paladar?
My wife and I, we opened our family restaurant 5 years ago in the house that used to be the place where my wife, my daughter, and me lived for 7 years. I always explain my friends that when we saw opportunities to make a private restaurant, I told my wife, you know what? We're so picky for food. Why don't we try to make a restaurant where we would like to go? So that was the idea, you know? And then a dream started like that.
Is it Cuban food only, or are there non-Cuban influences?
Well, mainly Cuban food. It's a big variety of very good food, seafood, pork, chicken, many things that people don't know about it. Because what happened is we had a beautiful tradition of very good food. Because the Spanish came, they brought African people. African people brought a spicy food to the menu. And then people get like, oh, spicy food? That's not Cuban food. Yes, it is. So mainly my wife and I, we are focused on searching about the history of very good Cuban food. And then we are trying to bring that to Armenia, working with many countryside people, actually as many as possible, and then bringing recipes from the countryside.
Which dishes are the most popular?
There are some Cuban dishes very popular. I would say ropa vieja is definitely one of them, like fried bananas.
Tell us about ropa vieja.
In Cuba, we used to make brown beans with beef, and then after that, you use that beef to prepare and get a good taste on the brown beans. It's like pulled beef, and then you prepare that with Cuban ingredients, spices, and then a bit of Cuban rum we use in a restaurant, and then it just gets delicious.
Yes, I can attest to that. I've had ropa vieja in several places here, and it's always delicious. What are some of the Cuban spices that you use?
Comino. I don't know the name in English.
Cumin.
Cumin. Curcuma. We use, of course, very good garlic that we have in Cuba. It's not as big as the one I see in some other countries, but the taste is just amazing. Because I always say that we were forced to be organic before that became fashion all over the world. And now it's very good because now people appreciate all over the world that when the food is organic, it's not only better quality, it's more healthy, you know? So we use that, we use oregano, many natural ingredients that we are farming on the countryside with many families working with us, and that helps us to get like a very tasty and natural flavor on our meals.
I noticed the tomatoes here are very good.
Yes, tomatoes in Cuba, not as big as some other places, but full of flavor and very good taste.
And what are some other traditional dishes?
Pork is always on the menu of Cuban people. In a restaurant, we have the kind of pork that my family used to make. My family came from Pinar del Rio, like 2 hours driving from Havana. So they used to have an amazing dish that we just brought to the menu, and people love them. It's like fried pork, but it's not deep fried, like when you do it just for frying. It's just like, I would say, like grilled fried with olive oil. But the most important is that this pork was coming from the countryside. We have families raising them on the countryside in a traditional and organic way. So when people ask me why it's so good, why it's so tasty, I say 80% is the way you're raising. So we do the same with the lambs that we use in a restaurant. So we have an old man with a small cattle of lambs for a restaurant. He's just feeding them in a natural way, you know. He uses just herbs, some protein like moringa, morera. It's a different leaf. And then happy animals walking free. And that makes the quality of the meat very different.
And the seafood is very good here also.
I always joke with my friends and I tell them, take advantage of our seafood because it's almost organic. You know, what happened is we are an island, so we don't have a big industry, so we pour nothing on the ocean. So because of that, there's not too much pollution on the ocean, definitely. And that is helping a lot. I would say most of the private restaurants, they are connected with the fishers who are helping them to get like very fresh seafood, like we do.
So it sounds like there's a very close connection, at least between your paladar and the farmers who are raising the food, the fishermen who are bringing it in, and that probably helps them economically as well.
Definitely. For instance, our restaurant is working with 11 countryside families. Like our black beans, we have one family, they are farming that for us. We pay them even more than if they have to bring that to the market. Because it's a very creamy, we call it frijoles negros dormidos.
Dormidos.
That would be like a sleeping black beans because they are very creamy. So when you look at this creamy black beans, it looks like the beans are like just sleeping in a very creamy sauce. That's what we call them, dormidos, sleeping black beans. And this is a very, very delicious black beans. In Cuba, you can find many different types of black beans. But unfortunately, if you went to the market, it's almost impossible to find always these black beans. That's why we decided to go to the countryside to find a family farming these kind of black beans. And we did it. So we made a good deal with this family. So they just are farming that all year round for us. Like 2 harvests per year they have. We buy everything. And then we have an exquisite black beans in a restaurant because Cuban people love black beans. And I think good black beans, I mean, people will love that. So their benefit, like we have some other families, like with the pork, we do the same. It's just one family. It's an hour and a half driving from Havana, a small little town. They are benefit with us, and we are very happy working with them. With the lambs, we do the same. We have another farm 20 minutes driving from Havana. Over there, we get a lot of ingredients that they are farming for us, and we just build for them a small frigorific there, so they're just storing what we need and what they also need to sell to some other people. So this is a winning-winning relationship.
Do you ever have difficulty getting the ingredients that you want?
I would say the biggest challenge for a private restaurant is having quality ingredients or quality supplies all the time. I would say it's a bit complicated. To have this logistic is a bit difficult.
It's a lot to organize.
Definitely.
Do you need to be licensed to have a paladar? How does that work?
Yes, to have a paladar, you need to apply for a license, which I will say was not difficult to get. You just needed the conditions to open a restaurant, and that's what happened with us. 7 years ago, we decided to make a family restaurant. And when we applied for the license, it was very easy.
And then are you inspected? Do inspectors come by to look at the restaurant from the government?
Yeah, I would say like any other restaurant in the city, private restaurants are inspected to check that you have everything okay. And I would say that's perfect for me, because if I went to the restaurant, I want to be safe, and that's what they do, you know.
What is your favorite Cuban food?
Me, definitely, I love pork. Cuban pork, when you get it from the countryside, there is something on the countryside that is called royal palm tree fruits. This is called palmiche. So this is like a little coconut. And then everybody knows on the countryside, part of the diet of the pigs is this little coconut. The flavor is just amazing.
That's why the pork is so good here. I grew up in America in the Midwest, and we have a lot of pork there. But I have never tasted anything like the pork here. Yours may be even better because of the special sourcing, but it's delicious here.
Wow, maybe that's the reason, you know?
I think so.
Yeah. It's like, I would say that this is like, when I hear about the pata negra in Spain, that they use these castañas.
Chestnuts.
It's a bit similar.
Yeah.
It's just a bit similar. Because the countryside people know this. They say this was an accident because the royal palm trees are everywhere. And they say countryside people noticed that when they had open cages for the pork by the royal palm trees, the pork had a much better flavor. And then they realized it was that. The pork was getting the fruits of the royal palm tree. So now, intentionally, they feed them part of their diet with that.
What about the vegetables here? Tell me about what vegetables grow well in Cuba and what you serve.
In Cuba, we have, a nice variety of vegetables. So we have broccoli, we have lettuce, we have very good spinach. Tomatoes are very good also. Onions, pumpkins, very tasty. There's much more, but I don't know the names in English.
Squash and sweet potato.
Sweet potato, definitely. Sweet potato in Cuba is just amazing. Very, very tasty. I know a lot of friends in the United States who ask me, like, do you get sugar on your sweet potato? Just natural, sweet. And we have two types of them. One is like inside, once you cook it, light yellow, orange, beautiful, beautiful. That's the best one, definitely.
So I'm looking at the menu now. There are a number of starters here. What are your most popular starters?
Well, right now, we have a special that is not on the menu because we just had it a few weeks ago and people just love it. We're making a ceviche with red snapper. So we use as much banana. We call in Cuba tostón. This is very, very typical Cuban food because actually African slaves that were brought to Cuba many years ago, they used to prepare that for their meals. We fish that they used to catch on the river or the ocean. And then they used to get like any spice ingredient or flavor leaf that they found on the forest. So now we are having this smashed banana with ceviche. We use parsley. And then we have a pesto sauce that we make in the house. And this combination, just people love it.
It sounds wonderful. I'm going to have to come back and have that.
You'll be welcome. So you can try.
There's a section here that says traditional Cuban main courses. Tell me about some of those.
So here we have like a number of traditional Cuban dishes because we're just trying to be a good Cuban restaurant with good Cuban food. Because I believe if people understand outside of Cuba that Cuban food is just very good, that would help people to decide to come to Cuba one day. And that definitely will help Cuban people. So I think this is a little help to try to achieve this, you know. So here we have like a, for instance, like a local pork, paradise raining ribs of Cuba. Hawaii. Hawaii is the leader town in Matanzas where we are raising our pigs, and we just love it. One of my waiters, he knew that I was trying to find quality pork, so he said to me, he used to live in a leader town, an hour and a half driving from Havana, where they are raising the pigs the way countryside people always do it, traditionally, feeding them with roots, vegetable, royal palm tree fruits. So I said to him, you are day free? We go there. So we went there. And actually, we went to this countryside family. They were cooking pork when we arrived. And when I smelled that, I just remember my childhood. Because that's the smell of the countryside pork. Amazing. Full of flavors, just like a perfume.
And I see another one here with three little chili peppers by it. That must be one of the spicy ones. Tell me about that one.
So this is called actually very spicy seafood, Santiago de Cuba style. Why Santiago de Cuba style? Because African people were brought to that part of the island. So they start searching for spicy ingredients to use because they used to have that in their motherlands. So that's why we call it like that, because this is a combination of fresh seafood, fish, shrimps, lobster, octopus that our fishers are helping us to catch. So we cook it with fresh tomatoes, pepper, spicy ingredients that we are farming. We are getting them from the countryside family that are helping us to get these fine ingredients. So we make our own spicy sauce for this dish, and it's just like delicious. People love it, but it's very spicy.
What is your wife's favorite dish?
Actually, the spicy seafood casserole. That's her favorite dish for sure.
I think that would be mine too. I like the spicy food here. It's very delicious. Do you serve any non-Cuban foods?
Yeah, actually, yes. We have here some very good risottos that we love, and they are more international. Yeah, we have like beef tenderloin pieces in the blue cheese and green pepper sauce. This is a very nice way we found to cook tenderloin beef. Also, we have black rice in fresh Cuban octopus, which is delicious, you know.
And let's not forget desserts.
What happened is our chef is making some different desserts every day. So we just tell our visitors verbally what we have. But our main winner, I would say, is the Cuban flan. It's a combination of Cuban flan that we get with vanilla ice cream, coconut, and some dried fruits that we are macerating in Cuban rum. So we add this like a little touch, and our visitors love it. Me too. Maybe it's good for people to know outside of Cuba like, that private restaurants are helping a lot of people from the community. So actually, when we have to decide from different employees applying for a job here, if they belong to the community, that has a priority. Because in that way, we are helping the community around the restaurant. We have three people working in a restaurant just across the street. This community, we have like 35% of our workers belong to the community. And this is helping the area. You know?
What about the training here? Are there educational programs for people who want to be restaurateurs?
Yeah, I will say that's not a strong point in the restaurant business now. Actually, what we prefer is getting our employees without experience and start training them the way we like. We say we are trying to train them to treat our visitors the way we would like to be treated when we go out. That's our idea when we get employees here. So we explain them how important it is having a smile, be nice in a natural way, in a Cuban way, but always make our visitors understand that we really appreciate their coming, and they have to notice that on the service and on the details.
I noticed that. I noticed when we walked up the steps, there are rose petals on the steps coming up and candles. It was very romantic and atmospheric. Whose idea was that?
You know, when we opened, my wife and I decided to make a place where we would like to go. And we definitely would love to walk upstairs with rose petals and candles welcoming us. So that was the idea since we opened 5 years ago. Every single day we have rose petals, not only on the stairs, but also on the toilet. Because when we go out, we are just looking for a beautiful experience, not only a good meal. And every detail is counted. So that's why rose petals, even when people told us we were crazy, spending money on rose petals every single day. We still do it.
I think it also makes the Paladar very memorable for visitors to have that experience.
Yes, actually, happened once. I have to say that one day we couldn't find rose petals in the city, and a couple came and asked the waiter if the owner sold the restaurant. That much they noticed that. We were shocked. We go, my goodness, this is just one day in 5 years. And they just asked the waiter, why? And they just said, well, we don't see rose petals on the stairs.
So you really have become known for that, among other things.
Well, yes, I will say yes. We are on many guiding books. It's funny, but all of them say different things, but just one common thing, rose petals on the stairs.
Tell me, we can hear the background noise now. There's a lot of music in Havana. Is this a special time right now? Is it always full of music?
Music is in Cuba all the time, playing on one corner or the other one. There is always music in the culture of the Cuban people, and you can listening to music on the street on every block almost. Sometimes it's a bit noisy, but it's music almost everywhere.
I noticed that many places when I've traveled, I've seen McDonald's and other fast food American restaurants. There's nothing like that in Cuba. Do you think that will ever come? And if so, what do you think about that? I've heard that some of the young people here maybe would like to have McDonald's.
Well, you know, fast food, some people like it. Personally, I prefer slow food. But I just hope that if they come one day, open this fast food restaurant with moderation, so they just don't kill the soul of the city, which is a beautiful old city.
What changes have you seen in the last, say, 10 years or so?
Well, now, because of the new opportunities that we have in Cuba, a private restaurant is open. And like that, many private businesses are allowed now. So definitely this is helping, creating many jobs, helping people to get a better life, definitely.
Tell me a little bit, if you would, Yamil, about how business has changed in the last few years.
Well, I will say, we were very happy when Obama opened possibilities to Americans to visit Cuba. As we say, we are relatives, we are neighbors, and we love each other. So now we are dramatically affected by the new regulations of the United States government, because it's affecting private business in a very serious way. Not only government business, but the people, the workers. So I have a lot of friends who are trying to survive this crisis of having no tourists at all, almost, because of the new regulations.
What I understand is it's not only that there are fewer American tourists, but that it has affected tourism in general from other places. Is that right?
Definitely, because I'm not an expert, but I really believe that if a strong government start telling people don't go to Cuba, so many other countries are going to listen to this, and they are going to decide not to go also. So this is happening, definitely, because I never imagined that affected so much the tourist industry like it's happening right now. I never saw this before in many years. I mean, December, we have no tourist high season at all, and it's supposed to be started 2 months already ago. Many countries are deciding not to come to Cuba. They're canceling trips. I have tour operators working with UK that has nothing to do, supposedly, with the United States new regulations, but they are just also canceling because the United States said it's not safe. So if it's not safe for the Americans, it's not safe for anybody. So this is a very serious problem we are facing right now.
And I heard also that the hotel industry is particularly suffering because they were gearing up for a lot of Americans and spending a lot of money on infrastructure. And then when American tourism slowed down, it had a huge effect on them financially.
Definitely, that is affecting the hotels industry in a big time because they just were expecting these American groups to come as they were doing the last 2 years, and suddenly they don't come. So it's very difficult to go to the market and trying to find another market who want to come to Cuba and supposedly get these hotel rooms. So this season is going to be particularly very hard for everybody. Hotels, private business, government business, Cuban business in general, because we are all Cubans. And we just had a meeting a few days ago, and we explained to our team that we were trying to survive, not to send anybody away, but the situation was not good at all. So we had to be ready for anything.
Thank you so much, Yamil.
It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.